Okay, we're legally recording now. So
okay,
let everyone know okay, they're being recorded.
That's should we redo our Last of Us bit, or is it going to seem forced now that we know the punchline?
I don't know. I mean, I could try to say I don't even remember what the fuck we said, so it would be new to me.
Well, let's see. You were talking about watching the 8th episode, yes. And then Skippy was talking about the
finale. Is that the last episode of the season? Or I said, we have one more episode to go. I said, is that the last episode of the season? Or will there be more released? And Skippy said, Skippy?
Nope, that's the last of them.
I see what you did
so much
there.
Better.
Oh my god, that's
so
amazing.
Much better in recap.
Wow, that was like wow.
Nailed it.
Just like,
it's like when
it
the
was
bloopers...
like Set and Spike, you know, like
just remember where you were this moment when the funniest thing ever was said. Just remember that, okay?
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, I have to take a few moments to like recoup because that was just so
ChatGPT.
Wow.
if this does not triple our audience all the way up to one, nothing will.
Good times.
Also, by the way, I actually did have since we opened, I mean, it's not going to top this amazing piece of brilliant humor, but I actually had like a dad joke / pun all prepared for the episode that was just saving. I was gonna, you know, I was relishing in it, but I'll bring it up
you
later.
I'll
use it, but it has to be later. I mean, we need some spacing. That was so hilarious.
Sure.
Whoever heard this is lying on the floor covered in their own urine with their sides splitting in pain.
It's
so
true.
That was the setup joke. You're going to have to close this out with the anchor joke.
Maybe, or maybe just like something to start, you know, to take us off after the break in 6 hours.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, so speaking of which, since I think we almost forgot to do this last time, what are you guys imbibing?
Oh, gosh. You want to go first, Kevin? Oh, no.
I have my all-day mug of coffee. Unspiked.
Wait, does it at least have, like, heroin in it or something?
No, it doesn't.
Does it? Well, then,
I might have a chewy at some point, but
okay. Keeping it civil. Jerry, you have that look in your face like you maybe thought we were starting the podcast 4 hours ago.
No.
And decided to.
I started if it coincides with drinking. I started the podcast 10 hours ago.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
You know, today was a work day, right?
No, not for me. So
Mexican holiday.
My friend likes to game whenever there's a solstice, so he will take the day off and game for the solstice.
Solstice?
Yes. Today is the first day of spring. Yes, as of like 5:46 p.m. today, it's officially spring.
So today is what the
first day of.
I'm thinking of summer.
Currently. Okay. We're spring. So, yes. Okay. So we took the day off and we played Oath, but like around 10 or 11 a.m. we started drinking. So I've been drinking various beers or whiskey. Currently I'm finishing a gingerberry jam hard cider, which is pretty tasty.
Nice.
And then I will probably finish off the bottle of whiskey that we have with a little lime sparkling water that we have there. And since it's lime sparkling water, depending on how I feel, I might spike it with a little lemon lime squeeze there.
Some good stuff.
To finish it off for the evening, so...
Well, that's pretty complicated.
So I have a science question, Jerry.
What?
Is it
I'm sorry, what am I drinking?
Oh, did you get your drink in?
No,
I did not. I was really drunk off the fire signs bullshit.
It's just a Modelo, so I mean, it's nothing great.
It's a good one, though.
I'm sorry, Kevin. What was your science-y question?
Is it a spring equinox or solstice? Solstice, I thought, was summer spring.
Yeah, that's why I got confused.
Or they're interchangeable or something?
No, it's called solstice because it's the longest day of the year. It's the longest. There's long sun.
No, there's a winter solstice too, which is the shortest.
Maybe because there's solstice. That's the least amount of sun. That's what solstice is, because they're related to how much daylight there is.
Solstice is the next game. Today is just equinox then. Yes, you are correct.
Oh. Damn. Also, that's not a science question.
But is a solstice? Also, no, that's totally a science question.
Yeah, it's totally equinoxes, a science question.
Today is the equinox. It's the spring, the vernal equinox. Next game is solstice. So.
Okay.
All right. Yes, but well, we'll
check back with you. Now, you said you were playing
games. We were. Well, why don't you tell us about your Modelo?
Modelo. I didn't even want a podcast tonight. This is bullshit. I came in here with solid jokes, and you guys just have to poop on everything.
Oh, my God. This is a good one.
That's the one he loses it on. Jesus Christ.
Because it's a fucking Woody Woodpecker moment. It doesn't have to be good. It's just like, button.
Wait, what kind of fucked up Woody Woodpecker's show did you watch as a kid? I remember Woody Woodpecker running around going,
oh my God. It's the Woody Woodpecker attitude is the repetitive, poke your ribs, that kind of bust your chops.
Okay, I don't know. Hanna-Barbera is rolling around in his or her grave. but anyway, yes, I'm drinking a Modelo, and so that's it. That's all I got. Sorry.
Okay. I think exciting. That's what you were drinking the last time, too.
It was, yeah, but the problem is this is my last one, so after this I'm going to have to figure out something else to move on to, and I don't know what it is yet.
Well, you were asking something. Were you asking about Oath?
Yes, I thought when you mentioned that you played Oath today, I was going to take it nice and easy, sit back, drink my Modelo, and listen to you describe the game of Oath, the board game, I should say. And then we can move on to other things, because I don't know much about it. I remember reading about it, and I know it's really highly rated and much loved.
Is it?
But I thought maybe you could expand on it a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I will be interested to get Kevin's input on this. I believe Kevin's played it before.
Oh well, fuck me then. I'll just mute my.
This is yeah. You're useless. Go away. It's
good
so
drink your Modelo.
It's interesting because the gimmick or the hook of the game is that kind of like what happens in this game sets up the next game. And it's not in a legacy game kind of way where you're ripping up cards or putting stickers on it or something like that. But whoever wins the game, the current game, and the state of it determines how the next game starts. So it's kind of basically, in the game, you have one chancellor and you have other people that are basically trying to vie for the win condition. And, I like that. It's, I like your little unicorn helmet towel thing. I guess it's not your daughter's bath time currently, or else she'd be wanting that.
Oh, no, I stole this from my daughter. This is amazing. Yes. It's a blanket with a unicorn head, so you just wrap yourself up.
Oh, it's a blanket, not a towel? I like it.
Not really, no. And it has, I think it's got, Oh, yeah, it's got little, look, you can put your hands into the little thing.
Little arm. It's got mittens on it. That's good.
Yeah, it's got little mittens, and nice. You just wrap yourself up in it, and you've got a unicorn head. That's super cuddly. That's
pretty awesome.
Why the fuck don't they make big adult ones like that?
They do. They're called
slankets. They're called furries.
They're called slankets.
Yeah,
no, it's a thing.
I think that's what furries will wear.
Oh man, am I into furries? Is this how we find out?
I think so.
Wow, some really important stuff breaking on this podcast.
You're just discovering new things about yourself there.
Huh. Well,
but anyway, furry. We could continue to discover if you would like to play Oath or not. But
that would explain why every time we visit the zoo, I get a boner. All right, cool. At least I hope that's what that means.
Oh my god.
That reminds
me.
Sorry,
that's not the furry I was talking about.
On a completely weird segue, and I'm sorry I'm interrupting your thing about Oath. I'll let you get back to that in a minute. But Jerry, it reminded me. We did go to a little sort of kids farm this weekend, and
Were the kids sprouting yet? Did the heads pop up above the ground, or were they just still completely under the ground yet?
I'm going to stay away from child-related jokes just in case, because I'm afraid to venture into that territory. But anyway, so the thing is, it reminded me of you because they had they were called giant Finnish rabbits, and I had no idea that fucking rabbits can get that huge. Holy shit. They were the size of, like, a medium dog. Maybe like a slightly smaller dog, but I don't mean a smaller dog like a Chihuahua. I mean like a smaller,
like a 40-pound dog.
Like a real dog, not like a rat dog, but like a real dog. And it was like these things were gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea rabbits can get that big.
Oh yeah.
Do they still hop at that size, or they kind of just walk?
No, they just kind of walk around. They smoke cigars. They have a glass of whiskey on the rocks in their hand. They're like, "What's up, motherfucker?"
Kind of stand looming like by the barn, like when you said smoking, I pictured like a French rabbit just standing there with like a beret and like a cigarette.
These are big motherfuckers, you know, like one of them's in the back tattooing another, you know, like
but still they were kind of like, oh, je ne sais quoi, l'école de sec. That's all the French I know. So let's go back
and discuss. Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Yeah. So you guys go back to discussing Oath. I'm sorry. Just wanted to throw it in there. Because you own rabbits, and I was like, holy shit. I always make fun of you because they're so little, but these things seriously could bite my head off.
Bit. It's one. There's one. Rabbit.
Well, if you stop cooking and eating them, you would have red bits.
Anyway,
so I'm going to. I'm sorry. I will pass the mic back to you. Yes.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. Although we could tie it, because I believe Oath is made by the same person who does Root, and there are rabbits in Root, right?
Yes.
Wait, Oath?
I think it's made by the same person.
Yes.
I'm going to have to look that up while you talk about it.
So it is, absolutely. Anyway, in Oath, it's the object of the game is the Chancellor is trying to keep his position. Everyone else is trying to take the win condition away from them. And there's a few ways to do it, but there's the Chancellor and everyone else is in exile. And one of the neat mechanics of the game is the Chancellor can bestow artifacts or favors on to some of the other players and make them a citizen of the realm. Once that person becomes a citizen, they basically relinquish their own fighting force because there is a combat mechanic to the game, and they all become the Empire or the Chancellor. So they share like the same attack force. And basically there's an area with the area control mechanic of the game. The more people that you field onto the board, onto the game, the less, let's say, action points you have. So you might have a better military control, but they call it the supply line. The supplies that you have are fewer because you have more troops deployed. So there's less other things that you can do action-wise in the game, which I thought was pretty interesting. Finally, whoever wins the game determines the state of the next game. So any areas that they controlled will stay and continue on to the next round. So let's say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 areas on the board. Like whatever you control will be present on the board next time out of a random 20 or 30 or however many you would pick randomly to put on the board. And also you get to pick some special place on the board that can't be touched or can't be modified or discarded the next round. So you kind of set up the next game. And you set up the win condition for the next game. So that's interesting. When I found that was a little bit like, I don't know how this would be in future games, is it seems like the first, so the way the game is, there's 8 rounds, and whoever is the chancellor after like round 5 rolls a die, and if they roll a 6, they win the game. The next round, if they roll a 5, they win the game. And if you roll the 8th round or the end of the 7th round, if you roll a 3 or higher, you win the game. So the last few rounds is like a mad dash to see like who can fuck over the chancellor and take the win condition. Or now that I'm a citizen, once I make you a citizen, you're using my troops, but there's a secondary win condition. So if you have the most artifacts in the game, then they become the chancellor for the next game. They actually win. So it's a mad dash to like get that. So the last like half of the game was just like, how can I fuck you? Okay, I will make you a citizen. You have to fuck him over. You have to attack him because I won't be able to do that before the next round. And it's all, it kind of devolves into, okay, the person that goes before the next person has to make sure that that person doesn't win. And then that person does it to the next person. And it's kind of like that. So it seems there are some really cool aspects of it. And there are some aspects that are like, that mechanic might get old, but I really feel like you have to play it a few times to really grasp the game. So I don't know. That's my take on it. What do you think, Kevin?
How long is each session, by the way? Because you said like once somebody wins, you move on to the next round.
Who knows? I can't say that. I mean, we started playing at 9 o'clock we ended at like 5 o'clock, but we had lunch. We learned the game because we'd never played.
No, because you were saying like whoever wins the game determines how the next one is played. So I'm saying how long is each one of those games?
That's what I'm saying. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably if you just sat down and played, it'd be like 2 or 3 hours. But I don't know. Okay. It took us the whole day, but we were learning the game. We were bullshitting. We were grabbing lunch, that kind of stuff. So
you're heavily drinking.
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it tends, if I recall, it's only like maybe at the 3 hour at most for people who know how to play. And that's probably the long stretch.
So
I remember Marathon, right, like a whole bunch.
We intended to play at least 2 games, but we didn't get that far. But yeah, what do you think of the game? You've played it a few times.
Yeah, those mechanics that you were describing, it's actually been a little bit, so I forgot about the citizen one. But yeah, like that whole, it seems to me to be cool, but sort of overall underwhelming. Like Root has like an like sort of like a flavor to that, you know, different engines for different factions, and it's pretty cool because there's like an intensity of learning your particular faction. But like in Oath, it's got some unique and good mechanics to it, but like, and it was like enjoyable, but maybe more like 7 out of 10. That's how I seem to recall it. Like it, after we were done playing with it, I don't really have like this reserved urge to keep playing it some more.
Which is not the effect, because the whole point of the game is to, you know, like set up the next game and make you want to keep going. So
see, the setup is kind of a one of the cool quirks of it, but I don't, you know, it's like the stuff that you're keeping for the next game is like, instead of shuffling the lands, they're sort of in order, but then you're setting up like the first whatever, like you talked about. Once you sort of do that stuff, it has like overall, that's a slight effect. That's sort of not really like a big deal.
Sort of, kind of. Like one of the win conditions that I chose for the next game was there's something called like the People's Choice or something, and it's basically you use one of the two game currencies to win people's favor, to kind of like you're becoming the champion of the people. And that's one of the ways someone who isn't the chancellor can win. But the play, and there are two ways to get that. You can do that by spending favor, which is this in-game currency, which is kind of like you're the Robin Hood of the game, so to speak. Or we look like we're boring you there, Skippy. You're just sitting there reading your phone.
No, I was actually, so no, I'm actually looking up, I don't know if you can see, I'm looking up all this stuff. You can't see my phone. I'm looking up it. It's Leader, what is it, Leader Games, is that how you pronounce it? I was looking up everything. So yeah, first of all, you're right, Oath is made by them. And just to derail here a little bit, I didn't realize how many fucking expansions Root has. Holy crap.
How many?
That game, I don't know. I lost count. There's a lot of them. There's
one,
like
2, 3, 4, at least?
At least.
I want to say 4.
I didn't realize they have that freaking many.
There's the River one, the Underground. I forgot the other one.
So there's Root, there's the Riverfolk expansion, there's the Underworld expansion, there's the Marauder expansion, there's the Cats and Dogs expansion. There's the Marauder Hirelings pack and Hirelings box. There's the Riverfolk Hirelings pack. There's the Underworld Hirelings pack. There's the Vagabond pack. There's the Exiles and Partisans deck. There's the Clockwork expansion. There's the Clockwork expansion 2. And I think that's most of them, if not all of them.
Those are automated expansions.
Yeah. Like, and a lot of them could be stuff like this one promo card that you.
Yeah, but I'm assuming they're significant because each one is between $20 and like $60.
So it's like this, the Underworld, the River Folk introduced like total new faction mechanics. There's one another one I'm missing, which is I didn't hear it when you were saying it, but the one you sort of like did all of them with hirelings. I actually am not sure what that mechanic is. I never heard of that one, but that sounds like a sub alteration type of expansion that subtly changes factions.
But anyway,
and then the Vagabond was just like sort of an upgrade and maybe extra vagabond mechanics to have like more variation in the vagabond. But others, so that was like one faction, which is current. The vagabond is a weird faction because it's not a faction. You're more like a solo character bouncing around. The map, but like having the vagabond variations was kind of cool. But I consider that more like an upgrade to an existing faction. The big add-ons were the ones that had like one or two factions. In fact, two. I think the River Folk, the Underground, and then the third one I keep forgetting.
Either way, this company is great. I know they only have a couple of games. They have a new one that's being developed. I keep forgetting what it's called. I think it's something to do with Ark. Is that it?
Yeah. I think it's called Ark, and I have that one in Kickstarted.
Yeah, that one looks really interesting. And like I said, I love Root, and now Oath sounds awesome. They make some really quality shit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But like I was saying, like there were two mechanics to get this one win condition. One is through conquest, which is military, and the other is through like becoming the champion of the people. And whichever card I picked, which you could not discard for the next game, sets it so that you can only use one of those methods to gain that win condition, which could totally change the how the, you know, people vie for this. So it could be interesting. It could just be like, oh, you know what, that wasn't that much of a difference, but you know, we'll find that out the next time we play.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, it costs $80. It's an $80 game. I mean, that's, I guess, not that much compared to some others, but still. That ain't cheap.
Depending on the Kevin score.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty worth it. I like these days. I don't know if I mentioned, but I've been following the guy that does a lot of their designs and art for a few years without even realizing that he works for Leader Games. He's always, and the funny thing is he was posting stuff from Root, and I just assumed it was a game that he liked, and then it clicked, oh, he actually does the artwork for the companies. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, yeah, no, it sounds like a cool game. I might actually, well, I mean, I'd like to pick it up, but once again, it's just going to be sitting in a box next to all the other games. So I can definitely wait till it goes on sale.
Trying to think of some recent cool games. Someone just got the game Hex, which is sort of like two-player Scrabble, kind of. But he didn't like it, so now I have it, and I got to find somebody to play with.
He just gave it to you?
Yeah, so it like was posted on Kickstarter like a while ago or whatever of the systems that they post these kind of games. And I had said, oh, that looks amazing. He got in on it, and I didn't end up getting in on it. It was kind of funny because I hyped him in. And then when he got it, he played it a couple of times and was like, ah, that wasn't that good. So he ended up giving it to me.
Oh, that's funny.
But what else did I – oh, there's been – oh, I played Ark Nova over the weekend. We had a
– That's our, a great game.
Our board game group had like – the day at the mall where they from open to close were just marathoning board games.
Mm-hmm. I recently got the like three expansions for Terraforming Mars Ares Expedition, which are pretty interesting. Like one of them is a co-op version of it where you start off with Mars is completely terraformed and like an asteroid hits it or something and shit starts going south. So you have like a certain amount of turns to like stabilize stuff and re-terraform it, which is pretty cool. And then there's another one that adds a bunch of different things. It adds awards and milestones somewhat similar to the original game. And,
How long before we get how long before we get the Elon Musk expansion?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
the dice game's coming soon.
Because there's you can now add an infrastructure track to it. They're like, who cares if you have trees and water if you have no infrastructure to live there? So there's now an infrastructure terraforming track that you can either play with normally to just make the game a little bit longer if you wanted to, or if you were playing with five or six people, you would use the infrastructure track. And then the last mechanic, which is pretty cool because this is similar to like a role for the galaxy where everyone picks what they want to do this turn. So I'm going to produce, or I'm going to like draw cards, or I'm going to, you know, play green cards or whatnot. And you would pick what phase you want to enact yourself, and whatever phase you pick, everyone gets to do something in that. So like if I pick develop, everyone can play a green card, but the green card that I play costs 3 mega credits less. I know you're not interested in terraforming Mars, but
I actually one of my favorite games. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like exhausted for other reasons. I'm not.
Are we gonna have to please keep going. Cut this to be less than 3 hours?
Yeah.
But no, I'm just. It just means I'll have less to say and interrupt less. But I may.
but anyway. We'll see. So they have a mechanic that lets you upgrade your phase cards. So now I could either, and there's for each phase, there's 2 different cards. So I could either, instead of paying 3 money less for a card, I could pay 7 money less for a card, or I could play 1 card for 1 less and another card. So I could, you know, that cost has a specific cost or less. So I could effectively play 2 cards a turn. So it's a really, I thought that was a really cool mechanic. So I love the game.
I need to play more of that. Yeah, I legitimately really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So it's good to see. It must be, I'm guessing, immensely popular because it's another game that has a lot of expansions and there's always new ones seemingly on the horizon.
I thought they're making a movie.
Terraforming Mars?
Didn't I hear they're making either like an anime or a movie or TV series?
Are we gonna have to go rescue Matt Damon again?
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah, I think that happened already, and Matt Damon was in it.
Yeah. That would be such an amazing sequel. It's great if they made like a Terraforming Mars game. I'm sorry, a movie with like Matt Damon in the same universe what's its name? What's the name of the book?
What? Same what's universe.
Name? What was the name of the book where that movie is based on? About the guy who's stuck on Mars.
Right. It was
yeah, exactly. What's it called?
Wow. Why can't I think of the name of it?
That's what I mean.
Andy Weir did it.
Right.
So it was...
The Martian.
The Martian, thank you. Yeah, so it was like the Martian. Yeah, right. But like they don't say anything. It's just like literally starts off with like Matt Damon like waking up and going, oh, fuck me. God damn it. No, I can't eat another fucking potato. Please. For the love of God. Yeah. Anyway, so I think that'd be great. Yeah, so no, I do want to play that game. It really, of all the ones that you introduced me to, that was actually one of my favorite. And I never got to play any of the expansions. So,
well, they just came out recently. So, like, I got them 2 weeks ago or a week ago. So that makes sense.
Okay.
I've been out of the loop with Terraforming Mars stuff. I've been just sort of patiently waiting for the dice game.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that too.
What dice game?
Terraforming Mars, the dice game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, no, I've been out of the board game loop in general. The only thing that's I've been related done board game related was I got two people hooked on Munchkins, so it's because I let them borrow Munchkins and now they absolutely love it. I was not invited to play, of course, and then I backed, that was a little while ago, it's already over. I backed the expansion for Hidden Leaders that's supposed to be shipping later this year, and
that's cool.
I know you guys aren't like terribly excited about that game, but it's actually one of my favorite games. I really love it. It's so nice and simple. I really, really enjoy it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the expansion, and I forked over a couple extra bucks to get the new, so when you back the expansion, one of the things that they added was a new game board, which you can use instead of the other one, which adds like two more tracks to the map, to the game. So it's only like $5, and you can play the classic version or the new one. You just flip the board over, but yeah, the new board has like a couple more tracks and it adds a few more objectives, which is really cool. So,
well, that's interesting. So how does that work?
I don't know. I haven't really gotten it. It was a little hard to sell from the Kickstarter, but basically, I think so. Before, you know, you could only really move backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. This literally just forks it as to how that works. I'm not sure because the expansion adds new factions and it adds some new actions, and it also adds some new like additional elements that you can use on the board. Like you can put, like you can have, like I'm trying to remember, I'm blanking on it now, but like I think you can put other things on the actual track to block other players or to like to help you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like minions and stuff like that. So,
so that, like you could put something there so that someone can't move forward towards the water side,
it could affect them. Like you, it's almost like you're adding additional players to this whole thing. that have a specific actions that they do if other players interact with them or do things. I'm doing a terrible job explaining it just because I don't fully remember, but yeah, they're basically like additional little meeples that you can add to the board, and they influence the game.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's cool.
That is, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's it. Every other game-related thing that I've been doing is video game related, so I'm saving those for later.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that when Kevin came by a couple weeks ago, we played Gollum, which was interesting.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. Which one is that? I think I read about it, but I don't remember much about it.
It's kind of a worker placement-y kind of thing. It's weird. It's another game that's difficult to explain, but like there's like each round you have three actions and there's like three different tracks to move up on the board, and you have two different pieces. Like you have a golem and you have like a student or an acolyte, and like if the golem is kind of like a mindless robot that just moves forward however many spaces, and the acolyte, you kind of can go forward or back, but if the golem gets too far ahead, it starts costing resources. But that's also how you get your own resources based on where it is. It's interesting. Like the RNG element of the game is you take a bunch of marbles and you just throw them in this thing, and it lands into one of five or six tracks. And based on who takes the marble first, if there's like four marbles in there, that's the level of power of that action. So you're like, do I go for this one action before my opponent takes it, or do I get this marble action while there's four marbles in there and I'll get the most out of it because I'll get like four gold and four this and four that because there's four marbles. And if Kevin takes it first, then he'll get the 4. And then once Skippy goes, he takes it and he'll get the 3. And by the time I get it, I'll get the 2, which I don't want. So there's some funky mechanics to it. The night before, Kevin and I watched How It's Played kind of thing. And we were both like, what the fuck? This is ridiculous. It's like ridiculously complicated. We looked it up on Board Game Geek and it had like a weight of like 4 point something out of 5. So we were like, oh my God, this game is going to be ridiculous. But then once we played it, we were like, oh, that's not so bad. And it was pretty cool. So
wait, I'm sorry. Did you say the weight?
So how complicated, how chewy a game is like on Board Game Geek there's a rating between like 0 or 1 and 5. So like Monopoly would be like a 1.1, where like you're not really thinking about anything. You're rolling dice. Do I want to buy it? Do I not want to buy it? Okay, it's like brainless. You know, I could lose half my brain and still play Monopoly. These games are like, how many decisions do you want to make? Are there like several different tracks to go up and for like different win conditions and stuff like that? So it's basically like how complicated the game
like is. Think chess.
Where does Barrage?
Barrage is pretty heavy, I think.
But chess is, I mean, it's relatively straightforward, but the strategy is very chewy. Like you're thinking many moves and that, all of those different things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be ranked. I mean, I don't know if they rank chess on
Board Game Geek. Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm assuming that would be pretty high up there. I mean, what do they say? Chess masters are something like 27 moves ahead. I think that's like the average maybe the starting point.
But chess is kind of like they just memorize shit. So Barrage is a 4.09 out of 5.
Wait, Barrage is 4.09, and this game Golem is like 4.8?
Let me look at Golem.
Because that's crazy, because Barrage was super chunky to me.
Golem weight is 3.97, so it's a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of like the same thing.
All right, okay. Okay, I feel slightly better because Barrage made my head hurt.
So, yeah, ones like Trismegistus, what's that? That's 4.16. That's a big one.
Well, chess does have a weight on Board Game Geek, and it's 3.67.
Absolutely.
So that gives you a scale.
I'm saying that's too low. There's no way.
Nah. It's actually it's complex, but it's path, like if this, then this path, you know, fate path, complex. It's not really compared to multiple engines working at the same time with each with their hyper complexity. That's what I mean. Like it's a one dimensional, highly complex game, chess.
Because there's different styles of play, which means like you could focus on certain, depending on your style of play, different.
Yeah, but that's not a measure of complexity though, right? I guess in my mind, engines of the game, you know, like the different things.
Right, yeah, I think I'm interpreting the scale incorrectly. I think that's my problem, but yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say that chess lands into the category of it's easy to learn, extremely difficult to master, whereas a lot of these other games are very difficult to learn to begin with and difficult to master, but yeah. I guess that could be the differentiator there.
But like, so it's interesting because I would say it's one engine, but very highly complex. You know what I mean? Whereas some Golem would be like 3 or 4 engines that aren't as heavily complex, but because there's 3 of them, it's like a complexity multiplier. You know what I mean?
And it's also like, do you? With games like that, with multiple engines, it's like part of the issue is trying to figure out, do I sit there and focus on one engine or do I, you know, do I do a little bit of every engine? So it's kind of you have to figure out that sweet spot.
Yeah, the dynamic between the engines. Otherwise, you get like the best analogy I can say is like if you get one engine to five and another engine to five and another engine to five, it's like you might score 5 times 5 times 5. But if you only focus on one and get to 10 and the other two are one, it's like you get 10 points, you know, 10 times one times one. So like a lot of those complexities you have to intermingle in order to build them up together.
What are they rank checkers? That's more my speed.
That would be funny.
I bet it's there.
I would. Yeah, it has to. I'm sure it is there. I'm just kind of curious.
I'm very curious. 1.74.
Checkers. Right. Let's see. Nice. 1.74. Yeah.
That's what he. Just,
I thought you were. I thought he was joking. I didn't realize he looked it up already.
Another one I played recently, which is surprisingly awesome, is this game called Cat in the Box.
Trojaners?
Yeah, I was going to say, is the cat?
It is. Actually.
Here you go, Skippy.
So is it based on Schrodinger's theory? That's awesome.
It's
actually
Munchkin,
really cool.
Munchkin is 1.81, so that's more your style, right?
Oh. Wait, it's a good point. What is, what's Hidden Leaders at? What's Hidden Leaders and Dominations, since those are like two games?
I would think Dominations would be more than Hidden Leaders.
Hidden Leaders is 1.76.
1.76. Dominations is...
Wait. Hidden Leaders is not as simple as Checkers. Get the hell out of here.
3.62 for Dominations.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I mean, that seems about right. But come on, Hidden Leaders is not 1 point anything. That's
horrible. No, so community here, weight isn't clearly defined. For a while, Game Pages described it as a complexity rating with a brief mouse-over explanation, community rating for how difficult the game is to understand. Low rating, lighter weight means easier. For different people, weight means different thing, usually a combination of things like how complex thick is the rulebook? How long does it take to play? What proportion of time is spent thinking and planning instead of resolving action? So if you have, like, do I go this path? Do I go that path? Yeah. Do I go that? That is complexity.
Okay.
How hard and how long do you have to think?
Seems logical to me, but that's interesting for you to read this.
Right. How long and hard do you have to think to improve your chance of winning? How little luck is there in the game? So the more luck, maybe the less the weight. How much technical skill, math, reading, ahead moves, is necessary? How long does it take to learn the rules? And how many times do you need to play the game before you feel like you get the game?
Card games on there?
Sure. I believe like euchre, you mean?
Oh, I meant like poker, but yeah, I'm kind of curious whether they rank poker.
Know. Maybe not. No, poker's on there. Poker. Weight is 2.4.
Poker has to be high. Yeah,
or something.
Even by that definition, that doesn't make sense. That's way too low. Poker is a way more complex game. Are you kidding me? All those hands and figuring out the mathematical possibilities of what you can get following the deck, all that stuff.
Nah, it's all about the social cues and shit.
No. I know that. Look, I know that in that movie, that we all learn that you play the person, not the cards, and that's true. But the whole point is that you follow the cards, you play the players, but you have to keep track of the cards as well. And you have to be pretty good at figuring out the odds of what you're playing, because that's how you're basically going to gamble.
But it's not complex because you literally just learn what to do statistically for every hand you have. That's it.
It requires,
so once you memorize it, you're done. And
but
now
it requires
you,
an insane. But you're saying one of the things that this scale has is not only keeping track of, first of all, you have to very carefully keep track of what's going on. The other thing is that there's a lot of different paths that each hand could go because you have the river. So based on like the way people are, not only based on the cards, but based on how people are betting, you have to keep track of that as well. There's a lot. Poker is a very complicated game.
Yeah, but that's still only based on this small finite set of well, do I have two of a kind? Do I have this? Do I have that? It's not like Teotihuacan, where you're like, do I collect masks and try to use that logarithmic scale to get points? And can I get that early enough in the game to make it work? Or do I go and build the pyramid? Or do I just try to go up the Day of the Dead? And how is that going to work? And how do I do it fast enough and early enough in the game so that the seeds that I plant in the first round or two will win me the game in the fifth round or the sixth round when it's done. So there's a lot.
But I can sit here and name that. I can name a thousand things that happen during a hand of poker like you just did. There's a ton of things that go into consideration.
By the way, those
considerations change with every card that gets put down.
Yes, but that's,
you're not wrong.
Once the community cards are
like Jerry, Skippy's not wrong in the way he's doing it, but I think what we're missing here is like on another layer. The complexity is sort of like an objective analysis.
Yes. You're
like, I suck at poker. Because I can't memorize all the shit. It's like trying to remember trivia. I suck at it. But I can kick ass at some of these like multi-dimensional like five engine games where I have to like, you know, almost, you know, maths and intuitive, like, oh, I think I want to push in this. Like that stuff I could do, but I would consider those way more complex than poker, even though I suck at the poker.
No, I get that. But I could basically take 10 minutes and explain poker to you. You want five, you know, a straight flush. This is a straight flush. This is a flush. This is three of a kind. This is what I mean by ace is high, et cetera, et cetera. I could lay out all the rules. No, hold on. I disagree.
You're not
explaining Trismegistus in 10 minutes.
Hang on a second.
Luck.
What you just did, you didn't explain, you're not explaining poker by it. You're explaining winning conditions. That doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of poker.
That's the rules, and the rest of it you need to, so that's one of those five or six bullet points. Now you need to play the game 5, 10, 100 times to really get a feel for it and be like, oh, this is what I need to do. Now what BGG is saying is, yes, now explain a game that takes an hour or so to go through all the rules, where there's a whole bunch of different win conditions besides getting the, you know, biggest hand, and play that game 5, 10, or 100 times to really get a feel and know what you're doing. Is it worth it to go in masks?
I'm not saying that those other games may not be more complex. What I'm saying is that I don't think that if you're rating something like checkers 1.7, to say that what was poker like
2.76 or something,
like just 1 point higher than checkers, that's insanity to me. There's only five points.
But they're saying it's in the middle, maybe a little
poker,
bit.
Poker isn't less than twice as complex as checkers. They're not even in the same fucking league.
But hold on. You remember what
if checkers
Jerry
is
1.7?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
It's
That's
a subjective type of thing. Like, essentially, the three of us are debating what we feel like complexity should include. At this point of our conversation, it's like, all right, so you have, you know, you believe like the complexities of, you know, the chess-like complexities of poker, meaning like what to do, the what-if scenarios, and having like a huge wide cloud of what-if scenarios memorized makes, and like you're saying track this and track this, but it's kind of a whole what-if library. And to me, that's one dimension of complexity, and again, it's a subjective perspective on what you're saying. Like, because I can agree with you that there's a heavy level of complexity that scrambles my brain, and I don't want to. Like, I can't do those games, chess or I mean, I can. I've tried. But in some of these other games, it's sort of like, let's say, less depth in one complexity, but spread across, you know, five different systems that you have to learn at once. And now it's got this intricate weaving of, let's say, less complex depth. And so to me, that feels like more complex, the word complex. It's a rather more literal look at it. But I get your perspective where it's like, okay, I'm gonna do this one thing and I have to master the depth of it or else I'm going to suck at this game. And to you, that sounds like complexity. So, like, I think we could go in circles forever and maybe that's a good conversation, but I don't know. That's my take on
that. No, I agree with all that. I also think that you're right. But part of the biggest thing is that it is, in fact, a subjective thing. So
it'd be interesting if they had, like, you know, a thesis on what they want to do in a standardization. But, like, at the end of the day, it's a bunch of board game geeks trying to, you know, give people a benchmark reference. And it was interesting to see chess and poker laid in there.
It's their own community thing. I get it. Most of the people, I'm sure, who visit Board Game Geek are not interested in games related to gambling. So I'm pretty sure that those wouldn't rank as high because there's just a general lack of interest in them.
Could be. Yeah. Like, who the fuck is playing poker? That's for dipshits. Fucking put that as a one.
And I wonder if it's like the community votes.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's like a voting, I think.
It is. If you click on the actual weight of it, it opens up a pop-up that says, like, here's the distribution of votes for this, and, you know, like, where do you feel it falls in there? So, yeah, again, then there, you're like, who are these people? What are they playing? What do they enjoy? How many people? Is that an N of 5 or an N of 5,000? Because those would be different spreads for the...
Right. So actually, it's pretty cool that it's nice to see because you allow for the subjectivity. And it's just a bell curve.
Hey, what does that Dune game lend, by the way?
Oh, I freaking love that game so much.
What game?
I'm kind of curious. Where does Imperium land?
3.02 without the DC.
That game is amazing.
That's and
like we keep playing that, and like that's one of the games that when we'll put on the table, and no one would say no to it.
Friends of mine invited me over to their house just to play, and we did like board game brunch, and I brought like mimosa, so we played it, and then they had to, like, you know, take their dog to or a cat to the vet, and
that's funny.
I think it was the dog, and I went home. It was just like 3 hours.
What were you saying, Skippy?
No, not at all. No, I was just nodding along and saying that I really enjoyed that game. It's one of those things I definitely want to play more. But again, out of all these, I keep saying the same thing. Out of everything else, I really, really want to play Root more. Mm-hmm. I'm like dying to play Root again. God, that's a great game.
Could have played tonight.
That's true. We could always do it on Board Game Geek.
A tabletop
simulator. Yeah.
Well, we all have the digital version. We have it on Steam.
That too. We do. Oh, I wonder.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Did the expansions?
I mean, even I don't know if the expansions on that version.
Some are.
I mean, but we can play. But even that, we can just play without it.
Oh yeah, we have Terraforming Mars on that too. The original game.
Yeah.
Oh, we have Terraforming Mars through the Epic Game Store.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of games we can play. But no, we're doing a stupid podcast. Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm signing off. Just gonna delete the recording.
Giving the people what they want.
Yeah, we need to do something record this at a coffee shop and have a car slam into us or something, you know, like for views.
Haven't I been hit by enough cars, Jerry? What the fuck?
You have another leg. You could, you know, like.
If why weren't we recording a podcast that day? That would have been amazing.
Oh man, that looks like it hurt. Yeah, let me see if I have a Band-Aid.
Hey, here's what I think of Wingspan. Whee! Blum, 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 blum.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I will make a suggestion. We've been talking about this for quite a while, and it's good that we actually covered board games in length this time. But I would recommend we take a break and get some refills at this point, lest this podcast again drags into a 3-hour marathon.
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, do I have to like go or do you do that in post? I've never actually done the recording before.
You've also clearly never listened to an episode because we don't have a pow 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 pow.
No, I think that's the sound. That's the music.
Oh, you just toned
down. I can't even figure out what you're talking about, buddy.
I actually know what he's talking about, but it is not
I could sing.
Yeah, I mean, if you could do that from now on, we could actually just use that as the intro and outro from now on.
Oh, really?
Just
go. Oh, okay.
Well, you're already part of the outro, I guess. But anyway.
Hey, Skippy.
Yes.
Look at what's happening to me.
No.
Oh, God.
I can't believe in myself. Suddenly, I'm on top of the world. It could have been some, but I don't remember the song. So let me look at the lyrics.
I found another Modelo.
Nice.
In the back of the fridge, nice. I found another Modelo.
I've moved on to, I'm eating ice cream now.
Oh, fuck, I was about to get ice cream, and then I decided to go get a beer instead.
Yeah, no, I got the ice cream. So it's mint chocolate chip ice cream. But I have this, like,
nice
mint chocolate chip tincture. It's like an oil. So I'll put, like, a few drops in there. And it's, like, each milliliter or whatnot, it's, like, 10 milligrams of CBD and, like, 2 of THC. And I put, like, I had one of these last night. And I put, like, 4 squirts in it. And I was like, oh, I didn't feel anything.
Oh,
weirdest thing. This morning, I woke up. I took my dog to the vet.
I can see the curvature of the earth.
And I'm like, am I fucking high right now? Like, the shit didn't kick in for like 10 hours. And it was funny because one other time I had these like capsules that had oil in it. And I took like 3 of them. And like hours went by and I didn't feel anything. So I took like 2 or 3 more. And like,
damn it, like, classic.
What the fuck is going on here? Like, I was like, just.
Did we talk about this on the last podcast?
We might have.
You, I don't remember that you, one.
I remember that leading into the story of me saying that I had a similar experience with shrooms. But so this, yeah. I think we literally talked about this on the last episode.
Maybe.
People.
Was that the one where I was alter ego, or did I just dream about that?
I don't know, but like I was in the bath. I remember like that day I was in the bath, and I was taking a bath, and like my wife and daughter came home, and I'm like, oh no. They're going to come in and I'm not going to be able to talk or anything. They're going to knock on the door and I'm going to be like, I'm like, maybe if I pretend I'm asleep, they won't talk to me. So they maybe won't know I'm like high as fuck.
Oh my
I'll
God.
Sink under the water and I can't even talk because I'm under the water. problem
solved.
If I drown myself, no one will bother me.
Yeah. Good times.
Oh my God.
Speaking of it's somebody someone makes and sells what do you call them? What are they soap bombs? Is that what it is? Like you drop them into the bathtub with you? Yeah. Somebody made soap bombs that look like little toasters. So you drop little toasters.
Oh my god, that's hilarious!
Good times.
Or like a fan or something. Do either of you? So I'm like dying to get this question out, and I know it's shifting the topic, but like, have either of you watched Ted Lasso?
No.
Oh God.
What? Oh God.
All right.
Isn't that like
a racket? Let me stretch. It means
a show.
Complete cynicism.
On Apple TV. That's like 2 strikes right out the gate. It's on Apple TV, and it's a sportsing show.
Oh, it has nothing. Okay, to do. I mean, it is sports, but
Skippy's getting.
So it's about.
It's about football.
It's about football. Yeah, it's about football.
What do you about European football, not American football.
Yeah, real football.
Round right. football.
Yeah.
Not Stewie football.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so first of all, yes, don't forget, it took Jerry about 5 hours of bitching and complaining of trying to log into Apple TV. He, as usual, he was drunk. He was complaining about the flight controls of Apple TV. And
Is this the one you brought up to log in?
Is this the one you brought up like a few weeks ago? And
I brought up Mythic Quest, which is an amazing show. Mythic Quest is a phenomenal show, and if you're not watching it, I'm gonna stop trying to convince you about it. You're missing on. You're truly, truly missing out on a fantastic show. Not only is it a fantastic show, you would absolutely love it. Both of you. Both of you would absolutely love Mythic Quest.
I enjoy Mythic Quest.
Oh, okay. So you did watch it. Okay, good. Ted Lasso. Okay, so
I'm gonna have to go watch it now.
Okay, Kevin. Oh, yes, you absolutely should watch Mythic Quest instead of wasting time on garbage like Ted Lasso.
This podcast?
Did I say garbage?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well. So Ted Lasso, also, fuck you. Ted Lasso, the way I would describe it is Ted Lasso season one was great. Not amazing, but great. Mm-hmm. Season three, I haven't started yet, and I don't think I will, because season two was horrendous.
We just started season two.
Yeah, it is. Season two is nothing like season one. I will say this, that what's the name of that character? Roy Kent. Like, Roy Kent is amazing. He's the sole reason to watch that show. And I mean, I love Sudeikis and everything. And it has a couple of like cool characters. I also love, what's her name? Rebecca, the woman who owns the team. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, as an actress, as everything. I fucking adore her.
The other actress.
The young annoying one. Yeah, she's cool. I like her too. So
I actually kind of like. I don't see her as annoying, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't mean that as bad. I mean, she's supposed to be like young and energetic, and annoying is the wrong word. She's fine. I like her. I absolutely love Roy Kent. I love Rebecca. I like Sudeikis. But the problem is that, for me at least, is that I thought that the first season was mostly a comedy with some emotions and drama in it. It was a good balance, but it was mostly funny. Season two is like 80% drama with a few jokes in it, and the drama is a little heavy and a little corny and a little cliche, and I think the show really loses itself at some point, and it almost becomes uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. With the exception, and you said you just started season two, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's one episode, I think it's about halfway into the season. I don't want to say anything. You'll know exactly when you get there. It's an incredibly weird episode. It's actually a reference to a couple of 80s movies. That show, that episode, is one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. So if nothing else, season two might be worth watching just for that one episode. The rest of it, including the way it ends, is ugh. I don't even know if I can watch season three now yet. But I'm curious why you suddenly brought up Ted Lasso of old shows.
I mean,
especially since you're not even close to caught up to it on it.
Well, we just started watching it maybe 2 weeks ago. And
yeah, so season one, I'm sure you enjoyed. Like, season one was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm absolutely fascinated with the Ted Lasso character, which it's a unique, that's not a typical character that I've seen in other shows.
Isn't it, though? I mean,
I don't think so.
Guy that moves far away to get away from his problems and marital issues. I don't know.
No, there's a certain aspect to his psychological profile that is more unique than most shows, in my opinion.
I mean, he just strikes me as the character that's deep down is dealing with deep depression and issues, and their way of getting through life or every day is by improving the lives of others, by having a positive impact on everybody else. Like, they can't seem to have a positive impact on their own lives or their own condition, So they spread positivity onto others, basically.
By proxy.
That's it's that, not even a by
that,
proxy.
That, like, hyper-positive attitude, though, is interesting because I think it pulls on some neurodivergent aspects, which is just really interesting to see as a main character. There's like a slight twist to it that is atypical, and I kind of enjoy watching something like with a slightly different flavor to it in terms of like character development and personality.
So I can see that, and that's kind of like the, I don't want to call it a twist, but that's sort of what is the unexpected thing about season one, is the fact that you're right, he's painted as this hyper positive person, so you think like, oh, you know, he's got his shit figured out, but as you find that as the show goes on, he actually has a lot of issues, and they expand, I would argue, way too much on that in season two. That's why season two kind of lost me. Like, there's way more layers to him. And it's also not him. They get into that stuff with some of the other players, that guy Jamie and his father and a few other things. It becomes a little, I don't know. Like I said, it leans too heavy on the drama. It's not the show that I was looking for. Like, it's not the show that I was expecting. You know, like when you sit down and you're like, oh, I want to watch like a lighthearted comedy, you get most of that in season one. Season two, it gets into some really heavy shit. Now, there are still a couple.
Now I'm actually more interested because I think from what I'm hearing, if I hear like an undertone, I actually would be looking forward to that because that's what's interesting to me.
Right.
If that's what you're looking for, then you will love season two. Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to love season two. This is, I think, one of those things where you and I are going to diverge.
I can see how that could kill a show. yeah, I get it. Because you're like, I kind of signed up for one thing, and I'm getting another. Like, I thought I was watching a comedy, and now it becomes like dark and a little bit too introspective.
I didn't even know what I was getting.
You know,
so
you're trying to.
Yeah, and I invested into a comedy. Like, for example, like, so Mythic Quest, like, again, I'm going to try to not spoil anything for you, Kevin, but Jerry, how far are you on Mythic Quest?
I think most of the way through season one. And I've gotten there's a good amount of comedy in there, but there's like, the, you know, we're still touching on some subjects, and there's drama in there, but it's not like,
oh, there's going to be entire episodes, there's going to be a couple of episodes, sorry, here and there that are real tearjerkers. There's a few really emotional episodes. They're not like too bad, but that show to me does seem to do that balance better than Ted Lasso. Like, it's still, like, at the end of the day, it's still a comedy. Like, yeah, there's one. Again, I don't know, so there's going to be a couple of episodes in each season where you're like, oh, shit, that was really a little, that was, you know.
Heavy.
That made me feel, yeah, like.
Oh, shit, it, sad.
It was a human.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I get that. I get it. And like,
but to get right back into it. But with Lasso season two, you watch an episode and you're like, oh, geez, that was some heavy shit. I hope the next one's funny. And the next one's even worse. And you're like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
right.
I haven't laughed in like two episodes. This is depressing.
I'm here for comic relief and I'm not getting any. Yeah. That would bum me out too if that's, I get it.
Am I watching Ted Lasso or The Lasso of Us? Which one of this is it?
Oh my God. You caught him off guard. He was reading his phone and he went, oh my God, what did you just do to me?
why are you like this?
Where's that third Medela? Oh, wait, no more.
Wait, yeah, I can see the delivery truck backing up the, you know, bringing in the mattresses right now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say crates of Modelo.
Oh, no.
You son of a bitch. Anyway, but yeah, so I am kind of curious. I do want you to finish it because I am curious if we do disagree, which I strongly believe we definitely will. Oh, by the way, I'm assuming this means you gave up on Dark, right? I haven't heard any.
I wouldn't say give up. I just.
You can't take a break. You can't take a break from that show. If you take a break, but if you come back to it, you're not going to know who anybody is.
That happens on every movie anyway, so it's like.
Yeah, I would say honestly, if you don't feel like you have to sit there watching it, I don't think that it captured you in a worthwhile way, because I think as much as I love Dark, I would say season one and two were the best ones. They were amazing. Season three was fine, and I actually kind of liked how it ended more or less. But I would say season three is the weakest of the three. So if you're not entranced by it while you're watching season one, I don't think it's really gonna hold. I mean, I would say keep watching it, don't quit it. But
was it three seasons and supposed to be done, or yes, three seasons and then canceled?
No, it was finished. That's why it was so disappointing that they canceled 1899, because it could have been something truly great, but it needed they planned for 1899 to be a three season show as well. Hmm. Yeah, it sucks that Netflix canceled.
I would say right now that Dark hasn't haven't lost interest in trying to go back to it, but you're right, it didn't really like capture me hard.
I was very surprised. I thought you'd be all over that show.
I am all into that theme, like what's going on. Like, don't get me wrong, that's fascinating. Like, and that's probably the single thing that's got me. I actually can't wait, but I'm a little ADHD with my TV shows right now, like The Peripheral and all that. I have to get back into.
Skippy, do you care to shed some light on it?
There's some stretching going on.
I can't believe that you haven't finished Peripheral yet. It's been like 18 months.
Who, me or all Kevin?
No, Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, because I haven't started yet.
Oh,
there's like my windows of opportunity are usually during working hours, but I've been busy, so.
Yeah, I don't have any bandwidth for it. I can't get into the show. I just finally finished Better Call Saul. Which was actually kind of disappointing. And then you know what was really surprising? I'm not done with it yet, so don't spoil it. Did you guys see that movie, Everything Everywhere at Once?
Yeah.
Did you watch that yet?
I did.
Yep, multiple times.
Did you guys? Really? So you guys liked that movie, I'm assuming, right?
I did.
I enjoyed it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's incredibly hyped, and I've heard nothing but the most superlative praise for it. I'm a little more than an hour into it, and I'm absolutely bored out of my fucking mind. Like, I'm forcing myself to finish it. I really expected way more from it than what I'm getting. And I could honestly say that the reason is because, like, I get it. It's goofy and it's weird. But I think it's one of those things that's weird for the sake of being weird. And the fact is, watching it, I don't know if that changes later, but the first hour is non-stop exposition from the guy that's like her husband, you know, like it's just him explaining everything to her for like an hour.
Okay.
That does not make for a good movie.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Okay, good.
If I could reach out into this computer and fucking slap you, I would. This is coming from the same guy who loved that fucking tree movie. This is basically the same thing, only more entertaining.
Well, don't spoil it. I haven't seen it. I don't think it's entertaining. How is a guy standing there for 10 minutes at a time saying, I come from a different universe, and this other universe, you're the universe, and this other universe, you're that other universe, and then this universe, and blah, blah, blah. So what I did is I came from this other universe, and then your daughter is an evil person in this universe, but that's not your daughter. Over there is your daughter. That's not your daughter. Here, come into this trailer with – sorry, come into the
general closet. It's so weird. You focused on that guy.
Sorry. Won't stop talking. It's all him talking. Well, the entire movie better is him than talking.
Someone not even talking and just like, I'm going to poke the dirt by this tree, poking the dirt in the tree. I'm in a space tree.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
There's dirt here. I'm poking the dirt.
Let me fertilize this dirt so that the tree can grow faster.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Kevin, you haven't even seen the fountain, so you don't have an opinion. Okay, so you need to be quiet. And secondly... I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Do I have an asshole? I can have an opinion.
I will. Nice. I will. I will sit there for hours and watch Hugh Jackman finger the fuck out of an oak tree. Instead of like watching a little man run around an elevator and a janitor closet trying to explain the multiverse.
Okay. I
what
get
is
that.
This tree movie?
But I will.
The Fountain.
It's called The Fountain. I will see your Hugh Jackman poking a tree, and I
not
will
not poking, fingering a tree. He
fingering
the shit out of that tree. All
a
right?
Tree, and
it's called a fountain, not a light trickle. Because when Hugh Jackman fingers it, yeah.
Oh my God, are you trying to be the comedian of this episode here? Because you know
I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just being. All right.
Okay. I will see your Hugh Jackman fingering a tree. What was it? An oak tree? Do you know what kind of a tree it was?
I don't know. It's a tree of life. So no. You didn't understand that. You didn't understand.
No, no. I understood it. I will see your Hugh Jackman fingering the tree of life, and I will raise you Jamie Lee Curtis with hot dogs for fingers. I mean, come on, that's
that
a win.
Jesus Christ.
That was dumb. Actually, I thought that was the weakest part of them all. Like, that's the best thing they could come up with. I'm like, wow, hot dogs for fingers. That's so fucking creative. I don't know, man. Jamie Lee Curtis.
She made it happen.
Yeah, great. I have not finished it, so I can't say that it's a bad movie overall. I'd like to get to it. But I gotta say, so far, man, this is not what I signed up for. I truly sat down and was like, all right, I'm gonna have my mind blown. Everybody's screaming that this is a must-see movie. It's brilliant. It's like it's the best multiverse, whatever the hell movie it is. There's gonna be some really awesome ideas. And like I said, an hour into it, I am just like fighting to stay awake through it.
See, I find it entertaining. In all honesty, I wasn't like, oh my God, that was like the best movie I've ever seen. It was definitely an entertaining movie. There was some funny stuff.
I was asking more because I was hoping you guys would say like either A, oh no, you need to keep watching. Trust me, that's just like a setup for something for the second half, which is going to be amazing. Or say something like, I don't know. I guess maybe put this movie in a different light. Maybe I went into it with the wrong expectations.
Wait, so do you understand the moral undertone of the entire movie?
Yes, I understand. No, I understand it's about their mother-daughter relationship. I get that. Or, well, it's the parental relationship in general between her father.
Well, it's also
her
bigger.
Father and her daughter.
Yes, that's true. It's the generational gap, but it's a huge existential crisis of the mother.
Yes. I get that. And like I said, I haven't finished it yet, so.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Like, you know, that's like the pivotal, you know, life experience type of, you know, whatever, her heavy, deep morals kind of. Well, it's not so much moral, but it's just sort of like it's a deep movie. So you have to like that kind of thing in the first place. If you're not really into that.
I do like it. That's why I went into it thinking that I was going to love this movie. But I think I don't have a problem with the message of the movie. I don't have a problem with some of the concepts and ideas that it's trying to portray. I don't like the way it's being done. I don't like the fact that it's not about the culture thing. It's about the fact that the best way they could, instead of using ways to tell a story, they just have a guy who's standing there again in 10-minute blocks explaining what's happening. that's terrible.
You have
movie
such
making.
That's clearly the character that's
feeling
it for you.
I know, but like that's the thing. Like I'm watching it. Every time he appears, I'm like, oh God, he's gonna talk again for 10 minutes, isn't he? Yep, there he goes. He's explaining what's happening. Okay, thank God he's gone. Okay, okay, this movie is back to being sort of interesting, and he's back again. He's gonna talk. Oh, yep, there he goes. He's explaining shit again for 10 minutes. Like, it's just, come on, man. Like, if that's the best way you can tell a story, that's not. I just don't think that's good filmmaking. Sorry.
My wife had an interesting take on it. She was like, "I didn't really love the movie. It wasn't like, wow, that was a great movie." But she's like, "I can't stop thinking of it."
Oh, I can see that. I can see. It's definitely living in my brain currently. Yes. Also, I will say that people have mentioned that you should see it more than once. There's apparently a lot of visual stuff that's like the stuff that does happen, the weird stuff, the visual imagery does have is way more meaningful than just
there's
a couple of scenes which are really sort of exceptional reference frame of references to tell that part of the story or the journey. And I don't know how far. So you're an hour. You're like, I guess, halfway ish. Even
I'm up to. I'll tell you exactly where I am. I'll tell you exactly where I am. I'm at the part where she, they're in the secret room of somebody, I guess, in the government building, and she jumps into the body of the blind singer, and she busts out of the office, and she's slow motion fighting all the other jumpers in the room. That's where I had to pause.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you'll have to finish watching the movie because I got to be careful. I don't know exactly. Like, I think I know where that is. So, but like, the entire expose as a whole is actually quite interesting how they decide to like tell the different parts of it. So that like they use the whole multiverse thing as a way to jump around, let's say, stages of the classic journey.
No,
I think that's all I want to say on it.
See, I'll report back next time. Maybe maybe I'm watching in a different mindset. I don't know. Maybe I need to just start from scratch. It is very well acted. I do think that Michelle Yeoh, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really terrible with it. Like, she's fantastic in it. I mean, she's awesome in everything, but yeah.
I mean, she won the Oscar, so.
Yeah, that, I don't give a shit about that.
It must be.
Well, they and they gave Jamie Lee Curtis, but like her character is really, I mean, she is a supporting character.
All people do is watch the Oscars and then spend the next year complaining about how much the Oscars suck. Maybe stop watching the Oscars. I remember a couple of years ago, people were like, "Oh, the Oscars are fucking racist." Okay, stop watching the Oscars. And every year, it's like something. Oh, the Oscars are fucking sexist. Okay, stop watching them for the love of God. It's like, the Oscars gives the worst to shitty. The Oscars are terrible because Will Smith smacked the guy, and it's like,
you must be one of those. You must be one of those people that watches the news all day.
I hate all award shows. The only award show that was worth watching was when Ricky Gervais was hosting the Grammys or the Emmys?
Not sure.
Have you guys seen that? Ricky Gervais? Holy shit.
I might have seen clips, but I don't usually watch any of those.
Yeah, Emmys? I don't even know what the fucking Emmy is.
No. Here's the thing. Ricky Gervais no one can understand why they kept inviting him back. He would rip everybody to shreds. At least watch his opening monologues at each one of these award shows. They are, I can't describe them. Just watch them.
That must be the whole point of it.
That's why they invite him back. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, he would. The shit that he said during those shows is, I cannot believe he got away with it. It's incredible.
Okay, so, I guess I'll have to watch them or clips of it.
Ricky Gervais.
You know what?
Go watch
it. I'll send you a couple. Yeah. Gotta love that man. So those are the only things I watched strictly for him. And yeah, that was definitely time well spent. I don't watch the whole thing. Just his parts. But anyway, I was just, like I said, I was surprised. I thought you guys were either, would be like, oh my God, you're out of your fucking mind. That's an incredible movie. But here's the weird thing. Like, not just you, but in general, the people that I know that I've talked to who have seen it, they're all kind of like, yeah, it was pretty good. Like, no one is like, except for the stuff that I've read in the media about it or like in general reviews where people have said, again, it's like a masterpiece. The people that I personally know have all just had a very like, yeah, it was pretty good. Like,
sure. Eh.
Even under that perspective, I kind of agree. It's not like at the top of the list, but I thought it was well done and I enjoyed it for sure. In fact, I just watched it again last week, because it did win Oscars, and my in-laws were talking about it. I was like, let's watch it. I liked it. And I don't think they liked it. The older generation.
They're just... Yeah, there's certain movies that, again, I just feel like I can't decide whether they're just weird for the sake of being weird. Like, did you ever see Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Sorry to Bother You? Is that what it was called?
No.
That sounds vaguely
familiar. It's the main actor is I think his name is it Luke Stanfield? You saw it. It was about a guy who works in like a call center, and it's a really weird fucking movie. So I think it's called So Sorry to Bother You. It's about people who call people like from call centers to like do surveys and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Never heard
I never heard of it, but yeah.
It was like an indie movie. It's a little hard to... So the third act of that movie is incredibly weird. Again, I don't kind of want to spoil it because it might be a movie worth seeing, but I am hesitant to recommend it because I'm pretty sure Jerry will never, ever watch another movie I ever recommend.
Probably.
If he watches this. The last part of it is very strange, and I still can't decide whether it's a good movie or whether it's one of those movies that's just, again, just being strange for the sake of being strange.
This is Sorry to Bother You?
I think it's called Sorry to Bother You. It's a movie that has a lot to do with, I'm blanking on the name of that term. It's called Code switching. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. It's about code switching. Yep.
It's absolutely about code switching.
Yes.
I'm reading the synopsis. I didn't see the movie and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
So basically it's an expose on code switching.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it's about. And it does a very good job of it again until the third act, which goes completely off the fucking rails.
It sounds like it does. Yeah.
Yeah. But it also has Tessa Thompson in it. If I'm getting her name right.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh.
I love her dearly. Dude, and I'm pretty sure she's
pretty close to the top of the list. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, she's I love her. So again, I can't possibly recommend this movie. I liked it, I think.
Gotta go back to that Westworld episode. Oof.
Oh yeah, she does that again in this movie. So, but anyway, but yeah,
Tessa Thompson.
I would say at least watch the trailer and decide for yourself if it's something you want to watch.
I might give it a gander. We'll see.
Okay, but don't hold it against me if you hate, like I said, that third act, man. It's really, really fucking weird.
I'm not, it's not so guaranteeing not what, it's so, it's, anything.
It's so not what you expect.
Well, does it have someone flying space in a giant bubble with a dying tree in it?
Why do you hate that fucking movie? The Fountain was a work of art. It was a beautiful, brilliant film. What is your... Like, you know what?
Oh my god, I have to watch it now and compare it to...
I'm gonna say that you actually liked it and you're just doing this on purpose. No. It's not. You can't compare it to Everything Everywhere at Once. They're nothing alike. Also, one is incredible and the other one is... Well, I haven't finished yet, so we'll see.
Oh my god, I really have to watch The Fountain now.
Oh, what was that time travel movie that was great that you were like...
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. No, there was the other one that I liked and you were like, that one sucked. And I was like, that's such a good time travel movie.
Yeah, you're thinking it had like a one word name, like not Primal. What the fuck was it called?
Yeah, something.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Is it called Primer? Is it Primer?
I think it's Primer.
Yeah, that movie's horrible.
Yeah, 2004, right? Is that it? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. That was a great movie. It's interesting that it's called Primer because watching it is literally as fun as watching Primer dry. It is such a
ba-doom-doom.
It is a horrible movie. It's not a
It's not was a movie. Cerebral movie, which I can't.
That's like saying that's like when you use the word exotic to describe an ugly person. Okay, it's not. it's what you say to describe a terrible movie. Oh, it's a thinker. No, it's not. It's a piece of shit movie.
Which
it's
one are horrible. We talking about now?
Primer.
Primer.
Oh,
it's a time travel.
It's made. Know. It's a pretentious piece of shit made for people who want to think that they're intelligent.
Kevin, you would enjoy it and you'd be like, wow, this is really chewy and I could totally think about this and this is a great movie. You would love this movie.
Yeah, I have to agree with Jerry on that one. You will love this movie. Yeah. But everything I said also stands.
So... if that's the case, one of these things is not like the other.
I'm on IMDb, and like half the actors don't even have a picture.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh, that's because, it's not. Yeah, that's not what matters in the movie.
No, hold on. That's because the movie was so great that they've never done anything else afterwards.
Oh, they retired it after one movie. That's
yes,
awesome.
Yes,
they
yes,
all after, got their EGOTs or whatever, and.
Yeah. After this movie made a whopping $18 at the local gas station, it they just retired in infamy. That was it.
Watch it, Kevin. Trust me, I would not steer you wrong.
The Fountain the Primer first.
Primer.
I want you to watch both. And here's what I'm gonna say. I think you're gonna like The Fountain, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna absolutely fucking obsess about Primer, which is. Unfortunate, but
it sounds like it's scary to you, but you both agree.
No, I know. No, I think it's definitely your type of movie.
Yeah. You watch Primer and you and I can have our own podcast episode just on that movie.
Okay. I would.
Oh, you
I
did
would,
like it.
I would.
Jerry likes it.
No, Primer. I thought was great. I was like, wow, this is a fabulous movie. And Skippy's like, that movie's shit. And Skippy's like, shit. Oh, my God, whenever I think of The Fountain, I want to touch myself. And I'm like, give me a fucking chainsaw. I'm going to cut down this goddamn tree. This movie is shit.
I go get like a house plant and I watch that movie with a house plant and I gently tickle it. And like I'm Hugh Jackman. It's like, come here, you little ficus. Come here, you little fucking ficus. Yeah, you like that.
Especially
yeah,
under
yeah.
the nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to fertilize you later, you dirty little fucks. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. Anyway, so just a reminder, this upcoming weekend, by the time I guess this podcast is out, it'll be way past. But
I've prepared for it already.
The Diablo 4 open beta.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about John Wick 4.
Well, I'm trying to segue away from movies. Oh. Also, I'm not gonna be able to watch John Wick 4 for quite a while because I don't go to movie theaters anymore. But
Diablo 4 demo is gonna be on the Blizzard app, right? Or did they shift?
No, this one's definitely through the Blizzard launcher. Yeah. Also, Jerry, how are you? Jerry, are you gonna go watch a movie and not play Diablo 4? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm not gonna get my heart attackinator. I'm just going to instead go watch John Wick. We marathoned the first three yesterday, Saturday.
That's a great way to. That is an amazing way to spend a day. I'll be honest.
Yes, it really was.
I gotta say the John Wick movies are like they're like the pizza of movies. Like they just like everybody likes it, and there's just nothing you could possibly change about. They're just great.
You can't say no to it. If someone's like, "Yeah, you want a slice of pizza?" You're gonna be like, "Yeah, exactly. Fuck yeah!" And someone's like, "Yeah, you want to watch John Wick?" And you're gonna be like, "Fuck yeah!"
Well, fuck yeah! Yeah, like I can't imagine anyone ever being saying like, "Nah, I didn't like John Wick." Like those people just don't exist. Everybody loves John Wick. Everybody. They're just
it's true.
Yep, it's true.
They're so simple and yet so perfect. Oh, God.
So much brain matter, you know. Let's, fingers crossed for keeps up the momentum.
So here's the one thing that I'm worried about for, and the reviews have sort of been pointing in that direction. And again, I obviously have not seen 4, so I can't say, but I have seen 2 and 3, and I have seen the series movie in that direction. I liked how basic 1 was. Yes. And 2 and 3 each got like bigger and fancier and flashier. And they were trying to add lore. Right. And from 4 looks like it's like a world, like he's going all over the world. And I want it to be like more dirty and gritty and like I just want it simpler. Having said that, absolutely love 2 and 3, and I'm sure I'm going to love 4. But like I kind of miss that, like the low budget, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Of the first
3,
one.
3 I thought was like getting a little close to Jumpy the Shark kind of thing, where he like does all this work to go and get back into the grace of the High Table, cut my finger off, here's my wife's wedding ring and everything. And then when he's with what's his face, the hotel manager,
Ian McShane.
Yeah, whatever his character was.
Yeah, I don't remember his actual name.
Yeah, but they're like, he's like, you don't want to kill me, do you? And John Wick's like, oh yeah, fuck that shit. You know, I just went through all this trouble, and let me just throw that all away. So that felt a little bit out of character for me, and I was kind of like, oh, they're just doing this to like push the movie along and have another fight. So hopefully it doesn't go in that direction, but we'll see.
Well, I thought the whole table being this a sort of Middle Eastern thing in the desert was a little kind of eh. But
yeah, me too.
It's again, there's so much good stuff in it. It was like one of those, like, I didn't like that too much, but it doesn't matter. The rest of it is so fucking good.
Yeah.
That entire sequence with the dogs that massive shootout with the dogs, that alone could have just been the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Still, oh god,
well, still would have been the knife fight too. Is actually kind of like a unique.
Which one was the knife fight in the very beginning?
In the beginning, yeah. And I'm curious.
Great. Yeah, that was really great. Yeah.
I mean, the thing that every movie brought was like the style, right? So like.
Yes.
Gun-based martial arts, like that kind of, yeah, and then like
the choreography,
yeah, right. But then like to take them into different aspects, and then like, you know, get creative with the dog scene, and then, you know, it's like, what else are they gonna get creative with?
Right, like a lot of it kind of in a way harkened back to the old Jackie Chan movies with like improvised weapons, mm-hmm. and shit like that, like. I could use this horse and cave in a man's head and like, you know, shit like that. Like,
right. If I poke the horse pencil. Right here, well, underneath the ear, he'll kick back.
It's also, I watched a documentary a little while ago about what makes the classic Jackie Chan movies so good. And Wick does the same thing. The Jackie Chan movies, the reason they're so much fun to watch isn't just because of the choreography and the stunts and everything else. I mean, those are definitely a huge part of it. It's the fact that it holds the shots for a prolonged period of time, making everything a lot more impactful and connected. A lot of action movies do a lot of jump cuts, right. Where, you know, they'll show like things from 1%. Right. His movies and Wick to an extent, the camera sort of just either floats or like follows a certain sequence for longer than in usual action movies, and that makes like all the difference. That actually makes it seem way more powerful and warmer.
Yeah, it pulls you into a fight and not a punch followed by a punch from another angle.
Or the results, like an explosion or somebody, you know, getting tripped and having like a massive fall. I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's actually in the choreography of, let's say, the dance of the fight, as opposed to massive punch. You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly the example you gave. In most action movies, you'll see like the punch and then the person like flying backwards away from it. Whereas in these movies, it's all just one thing. Like it's all just one shot, and that makes it gives more impact to that to the action set, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really cool. Yeah.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. It's like a lot more about the skill and admiring somebody with like ridiculous skill as opposed to like Superman, you know what I mean? Like just ridiculous outcomes.
Yeah.
It's a good
now
point.
Now I kind of want to go and watch the old Jackie
Chan. Now all action movies are going to suck except for Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And John Wick.
Did you know he does his own stunts?
Speaking of, did you see the stunts in the next Mission Impossible movie?
No.
I saw the one with him driving the motorcycle off the cliff. Yeah.
Yeah, the motherfucker fucking Tom Cruise, dude, literally drives the motorcycle off a fucking cliff and then parachutes down. Yeah, that's insane. There's also that scene where he's like on top of a biplane, where he's actually strapped into the wings of a biplane as it's flying.
Oh, really? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he's that dude is.
I give him credit. He's batshit crazy, but the shit that he does is impressive and amazing and makes for good cinema.
Does he push like Scientology and all that shit?
It doesn't matter. We don't talk about it. He's fine. He gets a pass.
Yeah.
He's definitely batshit crazy, but he is also very adamant about having practical special effects and real world stunts in movies and him doing as many of as he can. And again, that also makes those Mission Impossible movies like stand out from other action ones because I think pretty much all the stunts are done for real. Like,
yeah, I think it's very little
CGI. Yeah, the CGI like edits out obviously the cables and the ramps and everything, but they're actually like falling off shit. Like, do you remember that one where he's on this where they go to what is it, to Abu where like there's somewhere in Saudi Arabia? Yeah, Dubai. Thank you. Where he's doing the side of the building thing. Like, he actually did that shit. They were on a skyscraper, God knows how many fucking feet up in the air, with him climbing on the side of a fucking building. Like, that's insane. That scene with a fucking cargo plane takes off and he's holding off to the side of the plane as it's taking off the runway and flying off. He did that. He's literally hanging off the side of a plane as it's taking off.
That's like, where did he get all the aliens for Live, Die, Repeat? I don't know where he got them, but, you know.
Yeah, seriously, they actually had to kill him in every scene and then resuscitate him so that he could do that movie. It's true. No, look it up. I'm serious. It's crazy.
Like, I have to give him credit for that shit. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so next weekend, Diablo 4 is basically coming. Have you guys?
You still have to buy it, like, though, right?
No, it's free. The beta next weekend is for free. The beta this weekend was for people who pre-ordered it.
Oh, I see.
Who basically?
So you can't download in advance because, like, I'm looking at it and there's no download. It's pre-purchased now.
I think they let you preload it about a day ahead or so, but not more than that.
Gotcha.
The early beta was. I mean, we all know how I feel about pre-ordering, and judging by what was going on day one, basically people gave Blizzard money so they can stress test their servers, which is just, okay, if that's your thing, go ahead. But so you guys didn't watch any of the gameplay of it, have you?
I watched like 10 minutes of it, but it was like actual like beginning gameplay, and I'm like, this just wasn't interesting to me because it was some guy killing a random skeleton, and you know, it was Diablo.
Yeah, it is like any other Diablo, but I have to say, like, man, so it was weird because the first like Saturday and Sunday, I watched hours of game. Well, I mean, I was doing other things, but I was also watching it. Everybody was just raving about it nonstop, saying how incredible is it, and it did look really good. But today, the strange thing is that I'm hearing a lot more negativity about it, and it seems to be coming strictly from like the PC guys, you know, the big Diablo PC players, the gatekeepers of the world. They are apparently actually very unhappy with it overall. So they're saying that it looks very pretty, and the combat is really good. And, you know, like the voice acting is incredible, but their biggest problem with it is the previous Diablo games were built as PC games and then ported over to console. they're saying that this time they actually built it for console and then did a really bad port over to PC. And if you play it on PC, you can feel that in everything. Like, apparently, like, the UI, the menus, just apparently the way the game plays is, it's, to them, according to them, it is very obviously that it was made to please console players, and they basically told PC players to fuck off. It also apparently has some menus and UI shit that is similar to what they have in Diablo Immortal. So, like, you're already beginning to see that weird monetization mobile shit in this game, which they're not happy with. But we'll see.
How does that work into the... I've never played Diablo Immortal, so I don't know how that works to the menus.
It puts things in... Okay, so the previous Diablo games are purely focused on the game and the RPG elements and leveling up on all this other stuff. When you look at this stuff, it's like, you played Lost Ark, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, think about some of the menus that you are kind of in front of you when you're playing Lost Ark, where it kind of sort of says, oh, congratulations, like, you, it's sort of like, oh, you got this bonus, or you made this kind of points, you know, if you collect a little bit more of this stuff, you can get this cool thing, or
you can
maybe there's a way you can pay for it. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, so, like, there's the grindy stuff is a little more in the foreground, and the hinting that you should skip through it, like,
right, shortcuts to achieve more faster.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like it's pushing you to either grind or to pay for stuff. I haven't noticed it much, but again, I haven't played it yet. I'll see, you know, when it actually happens, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very surprised that, like I said, the first 2 days everybody was like screaming how this is an absolutely incredible game, and today all the PC guys are like, oh my god, they need to fix so much before it actually comes out in June. Otherwise, I'm not even playing this shit. So we'll see. I'm actually legitimately excited to play it this weekend though for a couple of days.
What are you going to play it on?
Oh, I'm gonna play on PC. I can't.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Good. Then you will be able to get a good. You'll be able to tell us if that's the case or not.
Well, yes and no. Keep in mind, I'm more of a console person, so it might not bother me. And the other thing is that,
you're gonna play with a controller anyway.
I'm not. No. That game, so I will definitely go with a mouse and keyboard. But I'm not as well versed in the Diablo things. Like, I barely played one. I'm not even sure if I played one, and I didn't play 2 and 3 that much. And up until about a year ago, those games were totally not my thing. Like, I was always looking at games like Diablo going, how is this a game? You click to walk somewhere and then you click to kill something. Like, how is this a fucking game? But, like, obviously, like, once I started playing, once I got into them a little more, I understood that there was obviously a lot more depth to it. So I am actually very excited to play Diablo 4. I'm still playing Path of Exile, by the way.
I'm sorry, one more thing.
They're saying the skill tree in Diablo 4 is a huge disappointment. That's the other thing that the PC
players really?
Complain. They're saying when you look at there's another game that's popular right now, The Last Epoch. I don't know if you heard of it. It's also another one of those.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, it's really popular now. It's another, like, it's like Grim Dawn, Path of Exile. Apparently, they really nailed the skill tree. Like, whereas, like, Path of Exile is, like, if you remember the skill tree in Path of Exile, it's fucking insane. There's, like, 1,000.
Yeah, that one's crazy.
Yeah. I like that, though, because you could go anywhere. It's not like... I have to take this skill next, and I have to take that skill next.
It just becomes something that's a little overwhelming for players who aren't used to it. Last Epoch, apparently, and I've seen very little of it, it sort of like scales it down, but in a good way, where it sort of maintains some of that flexibility, but loses the overwhelming complexity. Diablo 4, people are saying, it's way too scaled down and way too simple, and you are sort of more locked into that character class that they're working. So I don't know, we'll see. I mean, the game doesn't come out till June, so I'm assuming they have betas so they can possibly take feedback and improve things, but it's also Blizzard, you know, we'll see.
But they are I mean, they do know how to do server multiplayer server stuff or like whatever.
I mean, they also know DL. I mean, this is the genre they created for fuck's sake.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. If it sucks, I'll just go back to playing The Path of Exile. That game is fun as hell.
Yeah, I got to get back into that. That is a fun game.
Yeah, I think I'll try it again on PC. I might get back into it. That game. I do really enjoy it on Xbox, but I do think that it would be significantly more enjoyable. Plus, I can play with you losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You master race bastards. But anyway,
I should probably give that a try. I might be in the mood.
Path of Exile?
Yeah, well, I've been doing the bullet hell stuff lately.
Yeah, but honestly,
of course, my go-to games.
At this point, just wait for Path of Exile 2. It's coming out this year.
Fucking Tiny Rogues had me forever.
That's why I kind of gave up on Path of Exile, because of Path of Exile 2. And I was like, do I want to get into this? If this whole other game is going to come out.
It's not a different game. It's a little weird. It's not really going to replace Path of Exile, and I'm not completely sure what's going to happen. But Path of Exile 2 is like, it's like an evolution of Path of Exile. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say it because I don't want to give you inaccurate information, but
right.
I don't think it exactly becomes just another game that they're going to put out. I think it somehow works with the original game. Like, it's not an expansion on it, but it's they somehow coexist.
It sounded like it was similar to the first one, but it was like, I don't know, like more story or other stuff in it that fleshed out in the first one, but like, yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, I was reading about it said like the first two chapters or the first, like, I forget how it's broken down, chapters and sections. I don't remember. Basically, somebody was, I think I was reading that like the first like part of the game is exactly the same thing as in Path of Exile. It's just like more of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
But again, I'm not really like fully sure. Also, like the mobile one is coming out this year too.
But it sounded like they were saying like, this is how we originally wanted to do the game, but because of whatever reason, we couldn't. So it's effectively the same thing, but with like the twists and the other stuff in it that we wanted to put in. That's the impression that I got. I could be completely wrong.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
I don't know.
All right. So we'll see. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
But, like, yeah, when with all the Diablo 4 news, the biggest thing that did to me was, like, make me go, I should check out Path of Exile again, you know? Because it's, like, yeah. I feel that, like you said, if all of this stuff is kind of, like, meh, that's all you're going to want to do is play Path of Exile, which is kind of like Diablo on steroids. So, you know, with this whole other backstory or not backstory.
When is 2 around?
When is Path of the Exile coming out?
Yeah, Path of 2.
This year. Well, okay. it's supposed to come out this year. They're trying to figure out how to launch Path of Exile 2 and Path of Exile Mobile at the same time. Both are supposedly due this year. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how they're going to...
Yes, we'll find out more.
Like, there's going to be crossplay.
At ExileCon in July, or so the interweb says.
There is that. So.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to check out.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that's on the horizon for gaming, which is also unfortunate because there's no time to play anything. Too many good games. Fucking new Zelda games coming out. Fuck, god damn it.
Oh, what's that?
Zelda?
What's... The new Zelda game, the sequel to, what was the last Zelda called? Zelda, the Magic Kingdom. What the fuck was it called? Help me.
I don't remember.
The last one on the Switch.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Anyway, the new one is called Tears of the Kingdom. My God, why can't I remember the name? The one that came out for the Switch a few years ago.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, the new one is out. It's out like next month.
Is it anything like crazy or new, like some funky new stuff, or is it kind of more of the same from as the last one?
It's the last one plus more stuff. Like they actually now have like islands floating in the sky and everything. It looks like there's a lot more verticality to the game, a lot more exploration.
It's Breath of the Wild meets Breath Avatar of Wild 2.
I mean, it's look. I mean, it's still coming out for the original Switch, so it's not going to be some kind of new mind blowing experience. The first one barely ran on the Switch, so this one's obviously. I actually don't even know how they're going to pull this one off. So.
Yeah, my kids play that every now and again, but I've never. I don't know. I've never been a Zelda fan.
Yeah, I don't understand you. I got to be honest.
Zelda to me was like the monopoly of video games, you know, like
so I can kind of see that with some of the older Zeldas. I mean, I don't agree with you. I think most of the Zeldas were pretty fantastic, but really Breath of the Wild, I mean, dude, that game is something pretty special.
Yeah, I didn't give it a chance because of my previous, you know, I never cared for the Zelda series, so I was like, oh, fuck that.
Well, it's very different. This is, I mean, it's an open world. It's basically, I mean, it's akin to something like Elden Ring, for example. It's, you can go anywhere. You can literally, you can literally, like, when the game starts, go off to the side and fight the final boss if you really wanted to. You're not gonna win, right. But you can certainly fucking try it.
But I've played that in tons of other games. You know, I've played that in Elder Scrolls and all this other stuff. So, like, what about this game is gonna make me go, oh, I want that one?
Well, in this one, the weapons break a lot more often.
There you go.
That's actually one of the only real issues with that game is the fact that the inconsistent ways in how your weapons break. You could find like a stick and your stick will be good enough for like 4 hits, and then you'll find like an iron sword and you're like, well, surely this will last more, and it does. It lasts about 5 hits. And then your sword breaks, and it's frustrating because in some cases you'll make it through a dungeon and you'll make it to the boss of the dungeon and you'll be like, here I go, and you hit it with like your big awesome sword and your sword breaks and you're like, that was my only sword.
I'm dead.
I have no more swords to give. So you basically have to restart the entire fucking dungeon. Gosh. Or if you want to, you can throw some bombs at him, I guess. But for the most part, you're pretty fucked. and then eventually you find the Master Sword. And you're like, all right, well. And they're like, the Master Sword doesn't break. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. I finally, you know, fine. Okay, everything else I can forgive because I found this ultimate weapon and this ultimate weapon doesn't break. And the game's like, ah, 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 ah. You have to charge it. You have to charge it. You can't use it unless you charge it. And you're like, fucking it. God damn it. So, yeah. But other than that, it's a fantastic game. If they could just give you a way to like turn that off. Oh, you can't. And you can't repair your weapons. That's what sucks. There's no way to fix
it. Oh, really?
Them. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
So it's just you basically have a limited number of uses for everything.
Yeah, you run around with like 18 swords in your inventory at all times, but you find them so often.
Oh, right.
And there's so many different weapons. Yeah, that's the only. I mean, some people love it. Some people swear by that feature of the game, and others absolutely hate it. And I'm pretty sure it's still going to be in the new game because Nintendo doesn't listen to feedback. They just do whatever the fuck they want, and it almost always succeeds. So they're not about to change their ways now.
Yeah. After, like, how many years?
Zelda's
been around for, like, what, 30 some odd, 40 years?
I think the original Zelda came out in, what, 89, 90, 91, something like that? I don't remember playing the original Zelda. Come on, that game is a classic, man.
February 21, 1986.
Wow, okay, I was off. Jesus.
So yeah, we're going on almost 40 years.
Yeah. And to this day, so many people still don't understand that Zelda is not the main character of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
you're not playing as Zelda.
What?
Yeah, that was a
theme. I actually don't know enough to know what you're talking about.
for the longest time, people would go to parties dressed as Link and be like, "Look, I went as Zelda to Halloween," and people were like, "Ah, oh, you motherfucker."
Yeah.
Kevin,
wait, I know what you mean now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's called Legend of Zelda. Zelda is the princess.
Zelda's not, yeah, right. That's yeah, not the main.
Link is the one. Yeah, Link is the name of the player. But people were like, oh, there was a whole thing when somebody was like, somebody did like a piece of art, and they're like, what if Zelda was a girl? People are just like, oh, come on, man, like, why are you doing this? Like, what do you guys think? Is this a good time to maybe wrap it up, since we're peaking at 2 hours again?
I think so.
Why not?
Look, I'll be honest. I'm tired as hell, and I'm doing this for purely selfish reasons.
Right.
And I may or may not be out of Modelo. So.
Well, you. What's your word of the day, or your parting words, or whatever the fuck you want to call it?
My closing thoughts of the day?
Yes.
I know that we sometimes get very excited about new shiny things and we can't wait to experience them, but I will say, and I will stress the fact that we really can't stop going to movie theaters and just wait for the movies that we love to come to a streaming service we enjoy, so we can take them in for everything that they're worth in the comfort of our homes, surrounded by our delicious foods and our alcohols and our beloved family members. So I will sit at home and wait for John Wick to go on streaming before I waste my fucking time driving to a shitty, smelly movie theater full of goddamn mouth breathers. And I think you should do the same. I think we need to send a message to movie theaters and movie companies. To what are they called? I guess movie producers. Yeah, I guess that movies should just come straight to streaming, and we should just kill off the movie theater experience. That's my closing thought.
I agree with that. But
I don't give a shit if you agree with it. That's my closing thought. You can have your own goddamn closing thought.
My closing thought is, I'm going to tell Skippy's daughter next time I see her about this magical place where the
Hold on. We clarified on the last podcast, you are not, after those books you sent, you are not talking to my daughter ever.
Know what? Your dad can take you here and you can see the Little Mermaid in IMAX 3D. And she'll be like, wait, what? He never told me that. And I'd be like, yeah, I know, because, he doesn't like movies in a movie theater.
With special connections, you could put the Tiger Cook guy.
Okay. In three dimensions. Don't bring up, oh my God. Y'all know who you're talking about.
The TikTok thing.
Oh, never mind. Okay, so all three of us talking about
the cooking tiger puppet guy.
Yeah, he's talking about Good Boy Noah.
Oh, Good Boy Noah. Okay, that's a cheetah, not a tiger. I think you're talking
cheetah.
About,
there you go. And maybe you too. Whatever.
I think you're talking about Daniel Tiger, which is a kid's thing.
Oh, no. No, I don't know the new kids' things. Other than that, like, fox and the horse and the boy thing from, I think, the UK. That's the US.
No, that's that porno you were watching. No, I'm talking about Daniel Tiger. It's
the kids show.
Yeah, sure. Hey, look, man, I'm not judging. Whatever you want to watch. Daniel Tiger came from the world of Mr. Rogers. So, like, after Mr. Rogers passed away, Daniel Tiger is basically like the next, like, iteration of that show. Like, he lives in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. If I come to think of it, he might have eaten Mr. Rogers. What? Nice.
Mr. Rogers is dead.
Oh yeah, it was tragic. He died in 2004. It was very horrible. We can't tell you how though. Anyway, the thing is, like, but did you know that blood boils? Blood boils at 200 degrees. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah. So Daniel Tiger is supposed to be like living in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and my daughter is obsessed with it. But yeah. And by the way, and Jerry, to your point about how you're going to tell her to go to movie theaters, kids today take everything in through smartphones. What do you think is going to happen with my daughter? I guess that age.
Yeah, no, it's true.
they're not going to give two fucks about movie theaters. They don't give a fuck about it now. So, yeah. You're on your way out, old man.
Yeah. Well, then my closing thoughts will be, it's springtime. Get out and enjoy it.
Oh, see, that's good. Yeah, there you go.
Aw.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, you're so cute.
Yeah. It's springtime. Go take your laptop outside next weekend and play Diablo 4 in the nice weather. Kevin, you've been kind of quiet.
Kevin, you better be the last one.
I have been quiet as night.
He's like, damn it, I have to think of something now. Fuck.
Yeah, you better have been coming up with an impressive closing thought.
It's not I can't listen to you two and also think at the same time.
Oh, thanks, I think.
Okay, so we're going to do this in another few weeks. So you have a few weeks.
Be prepared. But then it won't be relevant. So I have to wait until the actual moment.
Or maybe that day. Maybe earlier in the day, you get up 10 minutes earlier. You jot down a closing thought or something.
Well, how about this? Okay, so Kevin, I'm going to save you because I think if you don't have a closing thought, I can either give you more time to think about it. And while you do that, I can give you Skippy's dead pun of the week. All right.
Oh boy.
No. Just your closing thought is I'm gonna watch Primer. Just go.
I'm gonna watch Primer and and then I'll go watch TikTok of dad jokes.
That was great closing thoughts. Well, see you later, everyone.
Okay, goodbye. So this one's
I'm so excited. I'm gonna go watch it right now. Okay. Go ahead, do the sing. Do the
it's
theme.
Just me.
You know I get to edit these, right? So
hey, where's the? Do you have any more Modelo?
I don't have any more Modelo.
Bust chops on Modelo the whole time.
I've got something better than Modelo. Are you ready for this? Okay, this one's multi-layered, so you really have to pay attention.
Oh, there's
okay?
depth. There's complexity.
There's complexity. So let me make sure you let me get to the end. Okay. Okay. So a horse walks into a bar. The bartenders.
Excuse me. Sorry.
So far, it's only a 1.5.
I have not gotten to it. So let me finish. I'll start again. A horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Why the long face?" The horse slumps into the chair, rolls his eyes, and orders a pint. The bartender gives the horse a pint and says, "You know, I see you in here all the time. I think you're an alcoholic." To which the horse replies, "I don't think I am." And then the horse vanishes. You see, that was supposed to be a joke related to Descartes' philosophy of "I think, therefore I am." But if I explain that to you first, they'll be putting Descartes before the horse.
Oh my God.
Why are you?
You got me at multi-layered.
There you go.
Wow. It's like watching the fountain like level shit for a, you know. Wow, that was something.
So you're welcome. And I will also like to mention that I already have the next one ready to go for next week.
Skippy, don't ever contact me again.
We'll just edit you. We'll like Photoshop you into the next podcast or whatever the photoshopping
lose
of podcast is.
My number. Whatever it takes. Don't ever talk to me again.
You're going to be telling that to your family tomorrow. Anyway, on that note, I will bid you all a good night. As I said, I have one ready for next week. So Kevin, you need to have a closing thought ready for next week. Otherwise, you're going to hear another one of those
jokes.
Or I might just get COVID.
We'll just call it the dad joke section.
I might just get the vaccine and drop dead like all those athletes. Anyway, all right, gentlemen, you have a good night.
Good night.
You too. Good night.
This has been a production of
It's Just Me
Studios.